I'll be reading from 1 Timothy 4, 4 and 5. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is made holy by the word of God and prayer. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, Geneva. It is good to be back with you. I greet you with the grace and peace of God, our Father, and Jesus Christ, our Lord. I greet you and stand before you in the power of the Holy Spirit to proclaim that there is but one name to which every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. It is the name of Jesus. Is there anybody who is glad about Jesus this morning? Who knows that Jesus is your life and your light and your rock and your strength? Amen. I love the Lord because I know that all of my life is controlled and protected in his hands, and I thank God for the privilege of being here with you all every time. I thank God that Pastor President Trout trusts me to be here, and that all the great leaders of this institution have been so kind every time that I've come, and I am excited just to share God's word with you. I really marvel at times that God uses me to preach his word, and because I know who I am. I know my own sin and frailty, but God is faithful and does miracles in each and every one of our lives. Amen? And so I'm not up here because I know so much. I'm just up here ready to share the little things that I'm learning from the Lord. Amen? Glad to have today with me my mother, who is my traveling buddy, Ms. Devon Baker. Mom, good to have you with me. She is my first example of what it means to be a Christian and a lover and a follower of Jesus. And so anything good that happens today, you can count it to her. Anything bad that happens, you know, you can blame that on me. Amen. So let's pray and dig in. Father, how precious to us are your thoughts, O God. Search us and know our thoughts. Try us and know our hot hearts and see if there be any grievous way within us, and lead us to the way everlasting. For how precious to us are your thoughts, O God. Father, we want to hear from you now. We need you in our lives. We're all at different places and we're all in need of different things, but we know that you, Christ, are our light and our salvation. And if you are for us, then whom should we fear? Of whom should we be afraid? And Father, at times we become discontent in this world and disappointed by the lot of life that has been handed to us. But we look to you as followers of Jesus and know that you are good and that your mercy endureth forever and your truth throughout every generation. And so we trust you, Lord God. And we will not go astray to the deceptions and the deceitful philosophies of this world. So we come to you and ask you again just to speak to our hearts that we might know how to live for you and with you as we leave this place. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Again, the word of the Lord comes from 1 Timothy 1, verses 4 through 5. And in the book of 1 Timothy, Paul is encouraging his son in ministry who is going through tests and going through trials and going through adversity, not to give in, but to complete his assignment, to do his work as unto the Lord, and to stay faithful to the gospel of Jesus Christ. In the first three verses of 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul is telling Timothy that he must remain faithful to the gospel and not be taken up by these other philosophies that are leading people from his church astray into self-sufficiency and into living a life, finding justification in the world and before God based upon their work. Paul tells them to look again to Jesus Christ and his life, of his sinless life and his substitutionary death and his victorious resurrection from the dead as that which makes them acceptable to God. To trust in all that the good things that God has done for his church through Jesus Christ is that which will be sufficient for them to build a life in this world and a life into eternity on. So today I want to talk to those of you who have not been enjoying your journey. And I want to encourage you that this life is to be enjoyed and this life is to be lived with joy because of Jesus Christ. Is there a witness in the building? That life gets better as we follow Jesus. And so I want to talk to you about how to enjoy everything. And I know at times, particularly in reform circles, particularly at places like Geneva College, to be mature in our Christian walk is often to contemplate the deep things of God, right? To just fix our minds on the wrath of God and how that makes our life better. But God is good, and He created the world good. And so I want to talk to you today about how to enjoy everything. Let the church say everything. The famed president of the Morehouse College and mentor to Dr. Martin Luther King, Dr. Benjamin Elijah Mays, writes these words: "I have only just a minute, only 60 seconds in it. Forced upon me, can't refuse it. Didn't seek it, didn't choose it. But it is up to me to use it. I must suffer if I lose it, give account if I abuse it, just a tiny little minute, but eternity is in it." And I want to ask you the question, are you enjoying your minute? Scripture begins by telling us that God created all that is in the universe, and when He got finished creating it, He said, "It is good." Life is good. Life is to be enjoyed. Life is to be lived in the joy of the Lord. And I believe in today's text, the Apostle Paul teaches us that everything that God created is good and that everything that God created is to be enjoyed in our lives. But if you're like me, sometimes the grass just looks greener in everyone else's life other than your own. Sometimes it looks like everyone else is enjoying their journey and you've got dealt a bad hand in life. But that is a matter of perspective and not necessarily a matter of reality. And what I've learned over my years is that people's perspective indeed is their reality. It's how they view the world and what they believe is true. And we need the Word of God then to renew our minds and to wash our minds through the water of the Word so that we might have the right perspective in life and might be able to live this life for all it is worth and enjoy it for all that God has created to enjoy all that God has created to be enjoyed. So today, Geneva, I want to talk to you about three steps to enjoying everything. The first truth I want to lift for you is this, is that you can enjoy everything if you thank God for everything. Let's look back at our text. It says in verse 4 of chapter 4 of 1 Timothy, "For everything created by God is good." Let the congregation say good. "And nothing is to be rejected," that everything is to be embraced and experienced and enjoyed if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is made holy by the word of God and prayer. Now, I know there are times that we go through seasons in life and experiences of life that don't feel so great. But I want to suggest to you, even at the start of this message, that even the difficult things of life can be enjoyed if we go through them knowing that God has good purposes attached even to the pain that we experience in this life. I know somebody's wrestling with that. I know that you're feeling like, Pastor Baker, you're a little off this morning. But Romans 8 and 28 teaches us that God works everything for good for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. James 1 and 2 and 4 tells us that God, we can even thank God for the difficulties that come into our life because God uses difficulty to mature us. It's like a marathon runner. When he is in the middle of the marathon, I'm sure his legs are burning and his lungs are gasping for air. But when he wins the race, he is even thankful for the time where he persevered through the pain in order to accomplish the ultimate goal that he was running for. And that is what I believe the text today is tailored to teach us, that God, if we have the right perspective of God and who he is and what he is up to in the world, then we can have a right perspective of God's purposes in our lives, even in the difficult situations of life. Therefore, no matter what we go through in life, we can come to a place of enjoyment, because we can, when we experience life and receive the good things of this world in line with the will of God. Is that all right? That as we trust God and as we know God's word, we can enjoy everything that we experience in this world. So I want to talk to you again about three steps to enjoying everything. The first step to enjoying everything is this: we need to thank God for everything. Come on, can you say that with me? Say, thank God for everything. Some of you are still struggling with that idea that we can thank God for everything. But I believe that's what the text teaches us. Again, in 1 Timothy 4, Paul says, "For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving." Paul tells us that we to recognize that everything that is good in this world and in our lives comes from God. This university comes from the Lord. Our friendships come from the Lord. The education that we're receiving, the families that we come from, every good gift comes from God. Therefore, we are to live with the attitude of gratitude as we go about our lives. We are to live with thankfulness and to give thanksgiving to God, just to say thank you for the gifts in my life that come from you. Thankfulness is not just saying the words thank you, but it is a contemplation and an appreciation in your heart and mind for the blessings that that God has given you and bestowed upon you in your life. So to give thanks is giving deep appreciation in your heart for the person who is the giver of the gifts that you have in life. Again, every good thing comes from the Lord, and God created everything for our enjoyment. That is the story in Genesis, an experience that helped me realize that at times I really don't appreciate everything that God has done for me. Is there was this day when my 3-year-old, who's now 4, had a birthday party. We had all the family over, and he was just so excited as he saw his grandmother and his aunts and his uncles coming through the door. And it came to the point where he was being given gifts. And he is named after me, so he's my son, and some of the things that he gets wrong are some of the things that God's trying to correct in me. And so he begins to open his gifts, and I notice William is so excited about opening his gifts, he just goes at it. He begins to open up the gifts. He tears the wrapping paper off and throws the wrapping paper to the side, looks at the gift, and then throws the gift to the side and asks for the next one. He goes at it all over again, repeats the cycle, rips the wrapping paper off, throws it to the side, looks at the gift, and beholds it for 2 seconds and throws it. And I just get deeply uncomfortable watching him open up these gifts, because he is not saying thank you to anyone who gave him the gift. He never stopped and said thank you to his grandmother. He never stopped and looked any of those who gave him the gifts, not knowing what they had to sacrifice to give him the gifts in the eye. He just was consuming the gifts one after another. So I stopped him and said, hold on. Look at the person who gave you the gift and tell them thank you. And because I did not want him to develop in his heart at such a young age a spirit of entitlement and ingratitude, not only for the gift, but for the givers of the gift. Friends, isn't that often how we treat God? We get up each morning, breathe God's air, use God's strength to live out the day, and we never tell him thank you. Never tell him thank you for the safety that he gave us as we slept through the night. Never tell him thank you for the resources that he's given to allow us to work through school. We often treat God with a spirit of entitlement to all that he's blessed us with, when there are people who would love to have the blessings that we enjoy and that are a byproduct of our everyday life.
Sometimes we don't stop to remember that it is God who is the source of every gift. And not only that we appreciate the gifts of God, but we appreciate the love of God and the sacrifice of God in Jesus Christ that has made everything that we experience in this life possible, because he has freed us from the wrath of God and ushered us into new life through the Spirit of God, so that we might live on purpose and in the fullness of joy, because we have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. So I want to suggest to you very simply that the first step that you have to employ to enjoy everything in this life is that you must live with a spirit of thankfulness to God for everything that he's given to you. That you must have that, again, that attitude of gratitude, Geneva, and that you must pay detailed attention to what's going on in your life to realize that it does not have to be this way. But the reason that it is this way is because I have a God who loved me with all of his heart so much that he gave his son to die to have me, and that I might live my life in the very center of his will. Secondly, the next step that we must have if we're going to enjoy everything is this: we must seek to obey God in everything. Amen. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, obey the Lord. Come on, let's try it one more time. It's cold this morning, I understand. Come on, say, neighbor. Oh, good neighbor, it's time to obey the Lord. If you're going to enjoy everything, you've got to obey the Lord. Timothy writes again, for everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is made holy by the word of God and prayer. It is rightly used. It is used in life as every good thing is used in the way that God intended and made holy in our lives through the word of God and prayer. We'll first deal with the word of God. We seek to enjoy everything by using this life and treating the blessings of God in this life according to the will and the word of God. If I came to your home and began to treat your couch as if it was a doormat, you would not appreciate me much, and I probably wouldn't get an invitation back. But if I sat at the table with you and enjoyed dinner and we had a great time in conversation and I did not use your table as if it was a guest bedroom, you would probably have me back, because you would see me as a civilized human being. Amen? Well, that is because I would be operating in your home in the way you intended it. See, every great appliance, every useful appliance, your phone or your microwave or any other appliance, your lawnmower, it has alongside of it an owner's manual. And the owner's manual teaches you how you should use that appliance, how you should treat it to get the most out of it. My brother, one day, he came over to my house. I was out of town, and my brother came over. We were about to have our first son, and he put together a bookshelf for my wife. And when I got back and looked at the bookshelf, while I felt like it was something my brother did from his heart, he was helping my wife out while she was pregnant and I was away from home, I felt the love in the bookshelf. But one thing I was sure about the bookshelf is that my brother did not read the owner's manual. He had the shelf number one where shelf number four was supposed to be. He had parts of the shelf that were supposed to be on the back and the front, and it was just had this crooked lean to it that just felt like all the books are going to fall off this shelf at any moment. If you just blow on it, it'll break down. See, he didn't look at the owner's manual, because he just decided to put it together the best way he knew how to do it. And it was up, but it was not strong. It was not built in a way that it would allow it to produce its best and highest possible use. And friends, that's what happens to many of us when we live our lives outside of the will of God revealed in the word of God. We put together life as best we know how to do it, but it's insufficient because we have not checked the owner's manual to life. We have not looked at God's word and saw what God has intended for us in this world and how we should treat this world and how we should treat one another. And so we jack it up because we did not ever consult the giver of life about how we ought to use life. This is how we come to twisted and perverted thoughts about life and about this world and about one another. It's because we look to other philosophies and other ideas of men to build our lives and not to the word of God to build our lives. This is often how we fall into broken relationships because we're doing relationships not how God intended for them to be done. And we can't enjoy them and they never truly satisfy because we're seeking satisfaction outside of the will of God for our relationships. This is how we often fall into racism and classism. Because we are looking for our value based upon a rubric that was not given by God, but was defined by men. And allows us to look at other image bearers of God as less valuable than you or I, because we are using ourselves as the standard and not the will and the word of God as the standard. This is how we look at our education, not as an opportunity to serve God and to serve the world, but as an opportunity to demonstrate our own self-worth based upon our own work. Instead of looking wholly to the work of Jesus Christ to give definition to our lives, we keep looking inward and we keep looking outward instead of looking upward through God's word in order to find true meaning and value and purpose. And you will never enjoy life that way. I want to encourage you, young people, to find your self-worth and find your purpose in life through the purposes of God as revealed in his word. The more I depend on people, the more confused I get about my life. The more I look for people to define me, I realize that I'm turned inside out and upside down because people don't know what to do with their own lives. Even as my mother and I drove here today, we talked about the significance of not living your life through comparison. Because through comparison, you never see the whole of somebody else's life. You never know the pain that is being masked every time you see them shining when they're in front of you and you see them succeeding in front of you. But as you live according to the purposes of God and the word of God, then you know how to enter into community. You know how to enter into relationship. You know how to enter into your work. You know how to embrace and receive the resources of this world and use them for God's greater glory. See, again, oftentimes when we seek to be spiritual or seek to show ourselves as mature in the things of God, we feel that the Christian life is all self-denial. I remember growing up in the church and I thought being a Christian was all about learning what you should not do and could not do. And learning how the rules of being a Christian. But that is not what it seems Paul is telling Timothy in today's text. He's saying, Timothy, the Christian life is learning how to use all of this world for the glory of God. Is that how you are thinking about your life? Or are you just following man-made rules that have nothing to do with the will of God and the purposes of God that you have been called to fulfill with your minute? God is calling us, Geneva, to use this world, to use our lives, and to enter into community in this world for the glory of Christ. And the only way we can do that is through his word. So students, if you're going to enjoy everything in life, you've got to live life and treat this world in obedience to the word of God in the Bible. For the Bible gives us instruction about how we should treat money, how we should treat sex, how we should treat work, how we should treat good times, how we should treat bad times, and so much more in the way that God, the creator of all things, intended them to be used. And that is why you should study and have your own owner's manual and have your Bible wherever you go. Are you still with me? We must thank God in everything. We must seek to obey God in everything. And finally, we must talk to God about everything. In today's text, Paul teaches Timothy that he is to receive all things in this world with thanksgiving and in obedience. Therefore, everything in this world is made holy through obedience to the word of God and through prayer. Can you imagine Timothy having a tough time in his ministry? He must feel at times like a failure as a leader, as people are leaving the church following false doctrine. He's just holding this young church together, and he gets a letter from Paul. He hasn't seen Paul for a while, But I can imagine that this letter was so dear to him. It was more important than any phone call because he could just go back and read it, and it'd give him encouragement about what he was going through. It was a love letter because it was a letter from a father to a son teaching him about how to stay faithful to Christ even through the rigors of being a young pastor. Timothy was comforted by the words of Paul. And often as we go through life, maybe not now, maybe for somebody particularly now, you're in a season of loneliness. You feel alone. You feel like you don't know how to deal with the pressures of school. You feel like no one really understands you. You feel like this has been the toughest year yet, or this is your first year here, and you still haven't gotten acclimated to the Geneva environment. I can imagine that phone call from a loved one back home is so comforting and is so reassuring because somebody knows who you are and is encouraging you to be all that God has called you to be and do all that God has called you to do in this season. That's what the letter to Timothy would have been like, and that's what the call home is like. But God wants you to know, students, today, that he is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And that as you go through the journey of this world and as you go through the difficulties of life, that there is a time, that there should be a time in your life where God can call out to you and you can call out to God, and that there'll be a sweet communion from God that will give you direction in everything that you need in this world. See, the word of God is God's communication to us, but prayer is our communication to God. Prayer is where God begins to apply the objective truth of his word to the subjective experiences of our lives as he leads and guides us through the power of the Holy Spirit. But you can only know the power of prayer if you do it. You can only know that prayer changes things and that prayer works if you are a person who seeks the face of God. And in today's text, the Apostle Paul tells Timothy, you've got to, if you're going to enjoy your life for all that it's worth, if you're going to allow God to accomplish his highest redemptive purposes in your life, Timothy, you've got to give thanks to God and know that your life is a gift, that every resource, every relationship, every blessing, it comes from God. And because God loves you, he has given you everything you need. My pastor said that whatever you need, God either gives it to you or gives you the strength to endure what you don't have. And it's because God loves you. But then God gives you his word to be a lamp to your feet and a lightweight to your path so that you will know what to do and where to go. But sometimes you just need to know that God is with you, that God is not, you're not traveling this journey alone. That you are with someone who is walking the journey with you and who understands what you're going through. And that is why God has given us prayer. It is in prayer that we get to talk to God and to commune with God and to know that he is ours and that we are his. See, Jesus, as he went through the rigors of his ministry, rejected in his hometown, rejected by the religious elite of his day and the culturally powerful in his community, Jesus would get away to talk to God so that he would know how to go about the work of his ministry and redeeming humanity back to the Father. It is in communion with God that we get the strength to persevere in the tough time. It is in communion with God that we get understanding of how we should use the blessings that he puts in our hands. It is in the talking with God that we find comfort and joy and realize that we are not just serving a God who is afar off and who we know nothing about, but we serve a God who knows everything that we go through and loves us and will be with us to the very end. I want to encourage you, friends, to enjoy your life, to enjoy this season of life, because there's nothing like it. You won't get it back again. Enjoy this minute. Enjoy this week. Enjoy this year. And do it by living in obedience to God's word, living thankful for every blessing, and living it in communion with God as you encounter the different experiences in life. As you encounter the mountaintops and the valleys low, know that God is with you and that he's given you this life to be enjoyed, for he is good. Therefore, this life is good. Amen? Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word. And we ask, Father, that you would help us to enjoy all that you have given us. Help us, Lord God, to enjoy everything as we lift it to you, as we trust you, Lord God, being thankful for every good gift, and even thankful, Lord God, for the things that we don't understand that we must go through and that are even painful, knowing that you work all things for our good. Father, help us to love your word so that it might give us insight on how we should embrace and receive every blessing and every difficulty. Father, as we commune with you, help us understand that the greatest gift of the Christian life is the gift of relationship with God himself. Lord, help us to be a people who not seek only your hand, but a people who seek your face and know who you are and trust who you are with all that we have. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Man, thank you.